ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 7 सन ऑफ जोन द पनिश टेक्स्ट नंबर 36। ए पर्सन हु नोज द प्रिंसिपल्स ऑफ रिलीजन डज नॉट किल एन एनिमी हु इज केयरलेस इंटॉक्सिकेटेड इनसेन asleep, afraid, or devoid of his chariot. Nor does he kill a boy, a woman, a foolish creature, or a surrendered soul. A cruel and wretched person who maintains his existence at the cost of others' lives deserves to be killed for his own well-being. Otherwise, he will go down by his own actions. स्वयं रूप कर्माय ददाति स्वापरान्तिकम् श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत राधा श्रीवासुदेव गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो प्रिंसिपल्स ऑफ रिलीजन Principles of religion, they affect the, all our dealings. We try to divorce ourselves from the principles of religion, it won't be possible because they're all pervasive. In other words, if we just say, well, we want to have a spiritual society, but we're not interested in the social principles of religion, it won't be possible. We have to deal with this aspect of the world also. We can't just run away and think we're going to live in a secluded place and we won't have to deal with these issues, because they're going to come up. We're in the cities, we're preaching. These questions will always be raised. What about abortion? What about homosexual activities? What about capital punishment being described here? Means killing the murderer. We can't avoid having dealing with these issues. At the same time, be preachers. Maybe if we want to just all go away and live in some secluded place, not have to deal with the world, just chant Hare Krishna, and then we may not have to think about these kind of problems or issues. But that's not the mood of Srila Prabhupada. He wanted us to preach. Want us to preach, especially in the cities. So these questions are going to come. Therefore, Prabhupada is quoting Manu Samhita. There are some codes are given there for the social order of the society. Now, it's true that we may have to incorporate those codes according to time and circumstance, according to the direction of the acharyas. In our line, Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, especially Srila Prabhupada, who has given many directions on these codes, just like he's doing here. He's bringing Manu Samhita into his purport. So that makes it Bhakti Shastra. They may say, well, this is a smriti, or it doesn't pertain to us. But when Prabhupada talks about it, brings it into his purports, then we can't deny that it has any relevance to us. It does. So we should research Prabhupada's books on these issues, just like Prabhupada says very clearly, that the girl should be married at a young age. Not that she goes off and gets a job and works in a university and then finds a husband, no. That should be arranged. She should have a husband by the time she's 16, 17 years old, so that she won't be seduced by some unscrupulous man. The woman needs this. This is her, you can say, a very strong biological, psychological urge. Just like, for instance, coming in the news now. This one 14-year-old girl was kidnapped by a 49-year-old man who already has a wife who's even older than him. So she was kidnapped 9 months ago, and they're finding that she had a chance to escape. Sometimes the police stopped them, and she said no, that she was the daughter of this couple. And Even at the last, when they finally caught her, caught him, even then she was not admitting who she was. What was her real name? She was giving another name. So then they're trying to figure out, why is that so? So the answer is very simple. She was brought into an atmosphere where she felt more important. She was having sex with this man, and he was appreciating her more than when she was home, 14 years old, playing with dolls or watching television. And so she bonded with these people. This became her new life. And this is natural for a young girl. Therefore, we say young girls should be protected. We don't absolve this man from kidnapping her. He should be punished for that. But the point is that this is the nature of a 14, 15-year-old girl. They should be married. They should be at least pointing in that direction. They should understand they'll be married very soon if they're not already married. And the father is finding a suitable man for them. Because this is their urge is so powerful that once they're getting sex life, strong sex life, regularly, then for them, that's the most important thing in their life. And then producing children and taking care of the children. And so it's artificial to think, oh no, we can make them equal like man and let them go out in society. And get, no, it won't be possible because their nature is different. Therefore we say less intelligent because they're more attached on the bodily platform. So if we just try to artificially imagine that's not so, it won't be possible. It'll cause disturbance in society. The universities and so much disturbance are there because these girls are all independent. Therefore, Prabhupada said that women should be trained not in the university, but in two things mainly. He was asked very directly on this point. What is it? How should we train our young girls? Prabhupada said they can learn how to read, write something, not too much, simple. But main training should be, they should be very chaste and loyal to the husband. And second training is, they should learn how to cook nicely and make the house nice for the husband. This is their dharma. This is their duty. But unfortunately, because of the so-called liberal age that we live in, even Prabhupada's disciples don't accept this. My daughter? No, I'm going to send her to the university so she can be, she can get a good job. Because what happens if she does marry a man, but he leaves her or something, and then she won't have any position? No, better she should be educated. In other words, they lose faith in the system. And so the whole society goes on, which we see happening, without any rudder. The rudder is a thing in the back of the ship that steers the ship. It's a rudderless society. ISKCON has become a fool's paradise because nobody knows on these pressure. Nobody takes them seriously. They just think, oh, this is some kind of intellectual idea. Yeah, we like Prabhupada. We don't like his teachings. Not when it comes to our daughter. Our daughter has to be educated at the university. So, this is the situation. Therefore, we're trying to show, support those who understand these principles, like Hari Pad and others. So that we can gradually come to establish the proper Vedic culture. And according to Prabhupada's teachings. Of course, it has to be according to Prabhupada's teachings. But Prabhupada does make it very clear. Women should not be given independence. And the murderer can be killed. And those who are involved in the sinful activities of meat eating and distributing, and so they'll also have to suffer. We shouldn't absolve them. Sometimes our Indian friends will come, oh, well, we're selling meat, Swamiji, because we have a convenience store. No, you can do like that, but you're going to suffer. But there's some reaction that's coming, you can be sure. And even if you give your $50 a month to the ISKCON, it still doesn't mean you'll be absolved from that action. There'll be some reaction. We shouldn't be afraid to preach the actual philosophy, even if people may not like it. They won't like so many things. We want to close the slaughterhouses. They won't like that. We want to, outlaw pornography and intoxication. People won't like that. Because the people in general, they're now foolishly intoxicated with their power, democracy. And it's coming out, it also comes into ISKCON, just like I heard the Tamil president say. Well, women are doing 70% of the work, so they should be have more, they should have 70% of their leaders should be women on the board. Something like that. That was his argument. But that's a foolish argument. And just like in the army, the 95% of the work is done by the enlisted men, by the private and sergeants and so on. But that doesn't mean that they sit at the and make decisions on how the government, how the army should be managed. No, there's generals and so on who do that. Or another example, in the Vedic culture, the sudras are always the majority. They give the example is given like a pyramid at the top, the bottom, the base is the sudra. But we don't say, okay, the sudra should decide how the society should go, what direction it should go. No. That's reserved for the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, leaders. They should guide the society, not that the sudras guide. But in a democracy, everyone is a sudra, and therefore we say everyone has one vote. And therefore, but the result is that the society can never go in a proper direction. It's always going to be rudderless. And similarly, ISKCON will be like that also. It'll be confused. It'll always remain confused. Unless the leaders accept that they are the leaders because they have the qualification. They may not be qualified like Prabhupada, but at least they should be qualified to strictly follow what Prabhupada has given us. This is the minimum qualification we want from our leaders. Not that they add their own idea and subtract something and no. But unfortunately, that's going on. In order to please the majority, means the less intelligent men and women, the leaders will compromise the clear directions that Prabhupada has given us on how to not only organize the society in general, but how to organize ISKCON. Prabhupada never appointed any woman as GBC, any woman as temple president. He was preaching. He could have easily established that and said, this is a good example. No, he didn't. But now we see our leaders are doing that very openly and saying it's good. It's good because the women are 50% of the population and they're doing 70% of the work, so we should make that. But Prabhupada clearly mentions that the nature of the woman is that their intelligence is not as deep. Even the demigod women, like Parvati, Prabhupada says, in the sixth canto, when Chitraketu is cursed by Mother Parvati, then Prabhupada in that purport makes it very clear that women's understanding is never the same as a man's. So why do we want to have the women leading us? This is foolish. Okay, any questions?
But from other side, Maharaj, this looks like they are trying to protect their daughters because they know that...
They're trying to protect. Therefore, we say that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. If they really want to protect their daughter, then they'll use all their energy to find a good husband for them. Don't say there's no good man in the whole world you can't find for your daughter. You really want to protect your daughter? That's how you protect your daughter. You go everywhere, make it your main service. Look here, there, everywhere for a qualified man who will take care of her. Then you hand your daughter over to her. That's your service. You want to protect your daughter. Otherwise, you're not protecting her by sending her out to the university to work and to get a job in some office somewhere where she'll be seduced. The nature of the girl, of the women is like this 14-year-old girl. That's their nature. They can be seduced by any intelligent man, with a little charm, a little charisma. He can seduce any woman. It's not enough that they have to have intelligence. Just like we give the example. If somebody falls out of the building, laying on the street. So He's a gentleman. He's lying on the street. So you think, oh, this is not good. So let me pick him up, put him in a chair somewhere. No. Your intention is good, but you don't have knowledge. The medical practitioner will say, don't move him. You should cover him, put a blanket over him, because if you move him without knowing what's wrong, he may have a broken rib. You move him, that rib will go into his heart or his liver or something. Oh, my intention is good. I just want to, but you don't have knowledge. So these men, they have intention, just like this Guru Garanga is here. He has intention for his good love for his daughter, but he doesn't have intelligence to accept Prabhupada's system. When Shamsunda said to him, don't send your daughter to the university, he became very upset. He didn't say anything to his face, but then he criticized Shamsunda. Why shouldn't Shamsunda tell me not to send my daughter to the university? This is America in the year 2003. These girls have to be educated. He loves his daughter, but he doesn't have faith in Prabhupada's teachings.
Well, maybe not in teaching, but...
This is the teaching. That's the point I'm making. You can't say the Prabhupada's purpose are not his teachings.
From other side, devotees see, for example, Barakatish, he has faith in Prabhupada's teachings and etc. But still he is afraid. And he said to me openly that he will train her daughter in both ways, to be submit and also has some education.
But the contrary, if you're going to send her to the university to get education, then she can't remain chaste. She has to sit in the class with the man looking down her dress and making some comment to her when she walks out of the room. Yeah, I've been at the university. I know what they are. Prabhupada said they're slaughterhouses. I saw it practically. That's because he doesn't have the full faith. Mainly, we should find out who is going to be the son-in-law. I mean, the father was very careful to test. If the husband is good, then what is the question? The same thing is there with the guru. If the guru is good, then there's no problem. Otherwise, the rickfix are there. Same idea. But find out who is qualified guru. If you can't find out, you don't know, then that's unfortunate. But at least the guru should be honest, truthful, not cheating, and humble. Doesn't claim that he, knows better than his spiritual master. He's going to improve on the what the spiritual master has given him. This is very dangerous. That's why I don't approve at all of Sri Parama. Because none of us are qualified. We're all born malecha. That's the point. That all these people are coming to the point of saying, the gurus are not qualified, the husbands are not qualified, therefore we have to do something else. But that's okay. We're not qualified. Therefore, we should strictly follow. That's the only qualification we can have. Then as soon as we see somebody's not following, then what is that? Therefore, we should test the boy. He's going to marry my daughter. Do you know Prabhupada's? You should test him. Do you know Prabhupada's philosophy on this? Do you know Prabhupada? First of all, the father should be trained up properly, so he knows Prabhupada's books very thoroughly. Then he should question the son-in-law, prospective son-in-law, and find out. Test him. Test him so many ways. If he's really qualified to accept my daughter. Then? And you have to have some faith. I mean, you've done your duty thoroughly. If you do your duty thoroughly, then you give your daughter over to the husband. If he makes a mess of it, well, in one sense, you're absolved. It's no longer your... You tried your best. But if the daughter's trained up nicely, just like Prabhupada gave the example of his sister, if the daughter's trained up properly by the father, then she'll, even the husband may abuse her, may this or something, but if she remains loyal to him, faithful to him, gradually she'll win him over, and he'll see that this is the way I should be. I should be also chaste. My wife is chaste to me. I should be chaste to my spiritual master. I should be chaste to Krishna. There's every chance that she can convert him. But if you want to keep your hand in the whole thing, then that's a problem. In other words, the father should give the daughter. He gives the daughter. Not with, you know. And maybe the father will send the daughter back the husband may send the daughter back. But the father should not come in, get involved between in that relationship. If the daughter comes, my husband is calling me bad name, he slapped me. The father, you know, he does this. Well, that's between you and your husband. Don't bring me in. Because he's given it over. But first he should find out what kind of man it is. Is he going to end up beating his wife? You can see that. If you have any brain, just like you interview somebody for a job, you should find out, well, what is this person? If you have a little intelligence, you'll be able to see how this person is going to behave. It may take some time, so therefore there's a process. You get to know the person. The same way the guru has to get to know the disciple before he initiates. Just like this Bhakta Conrad, remember from Krakow?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to initiate him because I saw what kind of character he was. He was asking me, he was doing summer service for so many months. But I wasn't convinced. So especially with your daughter, you have to be very careful. You love your daughter. Just like Swami Bhuvamanu took Devahuti to Kadama Muni. Then he knew, he said that this person is qualified. He was very attached to his daughter. He was crying when he embraced her and gave her over to her husband. So not that we can't have affection for the child. We should. But we train them as children in the proper way. The daughter is trained how to be faithful, how to be good servant to the husband. That's our main service. Then we find out the best husband we can. Then our duty is finished. We become too much attached. That's not right either. Just like Prabhupada. He was training up disciples, giving them, but if they later on turn bad, what can he do? It's not his fault. He was also attached. We know the example of Bhaktisiddhanta was crying, tears in his eyes, because one of his sannyasis was taken away by his wife. So, what to do? I mean, ultimately, everybody's independent. The daughter is also independent. She can also become a prostitute. What can we do? How can we be sure? We try.